The Philadelphia Church of God presents The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ with Stephen Fleury.
So God, it always keeps us looking to Jerusalem. And if you look at Chronicles, it is a transition into the New Testament. It starts immediately opening things up in the New Testament, and it's focused, first of all, to this key of David, this key that unlocks, well, just about everything in the Bible.
That's my father from his Key of David program back in 2021, speaking about the book of Chronicles in the Old Testament. In the Hebrew Bible, Chronicles is actually the end of the Old Testament. And as he explained there, it transitions right into the New Testament. It actually connects the Old Testament with the New. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. On this program, we rely upon the only source of information that you should rely upon for the truth about Jesus Christ and his teachings. And of course, that would be the Holy Bible. We'll dig into the Bible today, and hopefully you'll read along with me. Study the Word of God. Study to show yourself to be a good workman, as Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. That's what we do on this program. As I say, according to the way God organized the Old Testament, the book of Chronicles was the last book of the Hebrew Bible. And of course, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, that was split up by the translators. Really, it's just one book, one continuous story that leads us right into the New Testament. And as my father explained there on that Key of David program, I mean, the theme of Chronicles is on the house of David and on David's throne. And it has such a wonderful message. Lang's commentary says about the book, the author of Chronicles confines his attention to David and the kingdom founded on the promise made to him in 2 Samuel 7. And that's, of course, the chapter that talks about the covenant that God made with David, saying that he would be sitting on an everlasting throne, a throne that would always exist. Where is that throne today? The Bible speaks of Jesus Christ returning to this earth to rule from the throne of David. I mean, these are central planks to the teachings of God's true church. The theme, as I say, that Davidic covenant, the house of David, and of course, David's throne. If you go to the start of Chronicles, this would be in our English version, the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 1 and verse 1. It starts with this sweeping genealogy, and it starts, of course, with Adam, which you read about in the early chapters of Genesis. It starts with Adam, and then for 9 chapters, you've got genealogies. And as boring as that might seem to the average reader, this was very important for God to canonize. It's a sweeping genealogy, as I say. And then after you get past the genealogies in chapter 9, then, as I say, you get into this wonderful, uplifting, positive message, this Key of David message. And Ezra even left out some of the negative things about King David. As you know, he made a lot of serious mistakes. And God wanted that in the Bible as well, elsewhere. But in Chronicles, the way that the Old Testament concludes, God wanted the focus on the throne of David, the Key of David, the coming rule of Jesus Christ over all the earth. And so it's a wonderful message. And here at the start of it, it begins with Adam, and you get this sweeping overview of history. God wants us to know our history. This is a quote from this book here, The New Throne of David. This is the book we're going to be offering together with a booklet I'll mention in just a second. But we offer this free of charge. There's no cost or obligation. If you want to dig much deeper than we have in a half-hour program or have the time for, make sure you call our operators today and request The New Throne of David. Here's a quote from that book. It says, the beginning of the book of Chronicles also points you to this king. The first word in the book is Adam, as we just noted, which directs you back to Adam and Eve and the tree of life. But if you look at this spiritually, it's really about the last Adam, Jesus Christ. My father's referring to a verse in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, where it speaks of the last Adam, or the second Adam. That's the Apostle Paul writing. And it refers to Jesus Christ. So you have the first Adam in Genesis 2, or I guess Genesis 1 and verse 26. And then you have the last Adam, or the second Adam, Jesus Christ. And he's referenced in the very first chapter of the New Testament. And obviously in 1 Corinthians 15, as I just said, the first Adam rejected, this is my father writing, he rejected the tree of life, the law of God, and the Holy Spirit. He wanted to do things his own way, just as mankind continues to do today. It says the first Adam won't get us anywhere, but the second Adam will. We're really talking about two different worlds. The first Adam, he started this present evil world, as Paul describes it in Galatians 1:4. But the second Adam, Jesus Christ, he started a new world, the new world of tomorrow. And of course, today it exists just in the church, but soon it's going to be spread over all the earth. Christ came really and truly to start a new world, a new civilization. It's awesome to think about this sweeping genealogy. Here's a quote from the book of Chronicles. This is the second piece of literature that we'll offer freely on today's show. You've got the New Throne of David, and you've got this book, the book of Chronicles, in which my father says, the book of Chronicles focuses mainly on the second Adam, who's going to rule on David's throne forever. He frees the nations of Israel from the final and worst Babylonian captivity, a horrifying end, followed immediately by the rule of the second Adam forever. It says if we view this book spiritually, we get an inspiring prophecy of the future. He says the second Adam leads God's church, spiritual Israel today. He speaks to his church and the world through new revelation. How could the second Adam lead us if he didn't speak to us? So we have this guide, or our head. You can read about the head of the church in 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5. The head of the church is Jesus Christ, the second Adam. Now let's go back to Chronicles. We hit on the very first verse that starts with this sweeping genealogy. The first world started by the first Adam. And then you have what it says at the end of Chronicles in the King James Version of our English Bible. That's 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 20, where it says, and them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, and they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. So you come to this dramatic conclusion to the Old Testament, Babylon taking Judah into captivity, and then you have Persia later conquering Babylon, and then you have the king of Persia commissioning the Jews, or a remnant of the Jews, to go back to Jerusalem and to raise up the ruins, to build for God. It says in verse 22, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth has the Lord God of heaven given me, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there, it says, this is the final statement in Chronicles, who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. And so as my father said in that clip we started the show with, this is like right here, I mean, this is the bridge to the New Testament. This is what connects the Old Testament with the new. And as you see there, the last verse concludes with the question, who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Who is going to go up and build for God and rebuild the temple and get the focus back on that Davidic throne? Well, the answer, or the story, just continues on into the first chapter of the New Testament. And really, this is the answer to that question. Who is there among you that will go up? It says here in verse 1 of Matthew 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So here is the bridge. It all gets back to the throne of David, and we'll see that as we proceed, even in the Gospels, Matthew, the book of Luke, it gets back to this Key of David vision. You have a continuous story flow, and as it happens in Matthew 1, you have another sweeping genealogy, but this is one where the focus is on the second Adam, Jesus Christ. He's mentioned right there in verse 1 of Matthew 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. You talk about connections. Christ was the son of David. He came from that Davidic line. Now, Revelation 22 and verse 16 actually says that he's the root and the offspring of David. He's the root because before he became Jesus Christ in the flesh, he was the Word, and God made all things through him, Ephesians 3:9. So in that sense, he's the root, but also he's the offspring. He came out of this sweeping genealogy. He was of the line of David. And you see the genealogy for Joseph, even though he was just the stepfather, but still, he was of the line of David. You can look at Luke 3 and see the genealogy of Mary also coming from the line of David. Here's a quote from Herbert Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. It says, since Jesus Christ was the root, the throne was his before David was born. David merely sat upon the eternal's throne. Secondly, since Jesus was David's lawful fleshly son, this same throne shall once more become his right by inheritance, continuing David's dynasty. And so when Christ returns to earth, David's throne will be doubly his right. That's a statement from the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy. I mean, this is a mind-blowing vision, what we're talking about here. We're getting into the depth of the Holy Bible and God's plan for mankind and this Key of David vision. Verse 2, this is in Matthew 1, it says, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. So here is this genealogy that all revolves around the second Adam, and it's detailed, as you can read in the rest of the chapter. Chronicles gives you that sweeping genealogy. And then you have it here in the New Testament as well, in the Chronicles booklet, the booklet I held up a moment ago. It says, Chronicles really contains an epic sweep. In this book, Ezra shows us how to keep God's church today locked into a spiritual perspective. That means we must understand our physical and spiritual history. What are our origins? Why are we here? Why did God call us today? Out of season, God deals with the nations of Israel and spiritual Israel, the church, very differently. As I say, these are deep subjects, but we've got the literature that you need to delve deeply into it, even the United States and Britain in Prophecy. I mentioned that, or quoted that in just a few moments ago. What a vision. Down in verse 6 it says, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon, and of her that had been of the wife of Urijah. So here is the kings of Israel, or the kings of Judah, after the nations split apart into two nations. And if you look at the promises God made to Abraham, back in Genesis 12 and Genesis 17, It says in Genesis 17 and verse 6 that kings would come out of you. The promises of race and grace to Abraham, the twofold promises in Genesis 12, part of that had to do with kings, royalty, coming out from Abraham's loins, specifically through the tribe of Judah. David, of course, being the king that God established that Davidic covenant with. Verse 16, here in Matthew 1, it says, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." That's Matthew chapter 1. And so God gives this sweeping genealogical line that culminates here or leads right to Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus. And God saw to it that, you know, he came from the line of David as well. It was important to God that even the stepfather be of that Davidic line. Verse 17, it says, "So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations." God is the author, not of confusion and disorder, but he's the author of orderliness. You can read more about that in 1 Corinthians 14. He organizes his plan. His prophecy is sure. His word is true. It is sure. We can stake our lives on it. We can stake our lives on the promise, the covenant that God made with David. A lot of people think that that throne, you know, ceased to exist a few centuries after God made that promise to David. Well, that would mean that God couldn't keep his promise. No, he did keep his promise. And really, if you put the United States and Britain in prophecy together with the new throne of David, you talk about a sweeping history. You get the whole story. Hopefully you're interested in delving into it. As I say, it blows your mind when you get into the depths and the riches of it. Verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." So she was pregnant because of a miraculous involvement in her life from God himself, God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God. Verse 20, it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, or you son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." This is quite a test for this man. He was the man of character, for sure. He was a just man, the Bible says. And it would have been easy or tempting for him to put her away because, well, she's pregnant and she's a virgin. What happened? Well, God told him, this is of God. This is a miracle birth that's about to happen. Verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." A lot of people think that Jesus came to save us in our sins, that we don't need to do anything. We don't need to turn to God in repentance. We don't need to turn from our wicked ways, like it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. No, just receive him into your heart, and you're saved. You don't have to do anything. Jesus came to save us from our sins. He came to lead us out of our sins. He came to show us the way to put away sin. I mean, he never did sin in his perfect life, but he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. That's in Hebrews 4. 1 Peter 2 says that we're to follow in his steps. Look at how he fought against sin, the pulls of the flesh, in that final night at the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed for hours on end and even sweat blood. He was crying out to God for help and power. That's the example God wants us to follow. in our battle against sin. Verse 22, it says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is interpreted, God with us. You can read more about that in Isaiah 7. God was with mankind. God came in the flesh. And look at what mankind did to him. Look at how they refused to accept his rule when he comes back the second time. I mean, it says a lot about the world that the first Adam started. It's a world that's cut off from God. It's a world that's hostile to God and his law, Romans 8, 7. It's a world guided by the deceitful, wicked heart, Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. It's an evil world, as Paul said. Verse 24, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife." He just believed God, he trusted God, and he took Mary to be his wife. And verse 25 says, "And he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." He called his name Jesus, firstborn of the Virgin Mary. Look at Luke chapter 1. We'll pick up Luke's account, verse 26. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin." So it's some of the same information we just read in Matthew's account. "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, Hail, you are highly favored." I mean, this was a remarkable marriage, or soon-to-be marriage. They were engaged. This was a family that God had organized, that God had prepared for this moment. Verse 29, "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God." I've got a work to do. What an unusual work or mission this was. And yet both of them just accepted what God said. Okay, we'll get married. We'll give birth to God in the flesh. Verse 31, it says, "And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest." So he was not only the son of David or of the line of David, he was the Son of the Highest. That's God the Father. "And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Let me just read that again. "The Lord God shall give unto him," Jesus Christ, "the throne," that's a throne from which you rule, in this case, the whole earth. Read the last few verses of Revelation 11. "The throne of his father David." You talk about connections. In other words, David's throne is going to exist when Jesus Christ returns. It exists right now. It's somewhere on this earth. And you can read a lot about it if you get U.S. and Britain in Prophecy and put it together with the new throne of David, a wonderful study, an inspiring study. It says about Jesus' reign, verse 33, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." It's never going to end, Christ's rule on this earth. When he returns, as angry as the nations will be when he comes back to this earth, he is going to forcibly put down all forms of rebellion and then rule this earth forever and ever. That is the plain truth of the Bible. And it's a shame that more preachers don't talk about it. Or they spiritualize it away and say, well, it doesn't really mean, the Bible doesn't really mean what it says here. "He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Let me quote to you from another booklet my father wrote, The Key of David. Where I can probably paraphrase, where it says that King David, anciently, he's a great example of the way God works. Here, God bestows this incredible honor on David. He establishes this eternal throne through his physical line, and it culminates in the rule of Jesus Christ. It's actually God's throne. It's Christ's throne. And yet God used this ordinary man, King David of old, and established this eternal throne through him and his line. And Jesus came from that line. Jesus was also the root of that line. And Jesus is coming back to rule on that Davidic throne, or that throne of David, the Son of God, the Son of the Highest. Verse 34, it says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" I mean, how is this going to happen? How are you going to pull this off? It says in verse 35, "And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power," that's what the Holy Spirit is, "the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." It's going to be a miracle baby. It's going to be a miraculous act of God that brings all of this to pass. And it says in verse 37, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Nothing is impossible with God. All of the miraculous events leading to the first coming of Christ, there's much more to come when we talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth, when he rules from the throne of David. For more, make sure you call our operators today and request the free booklets, The New Throne of David and the one on Chronicles. And if you want to add to the mix, add U.S. and Britain and Prophecy to that mix, you're more than welcome to request all three. That's all we have time for on today's show. We appreciate you joining us, and we hope to see you again next time.
Throughout the Bible, God makes many promises about the throne of David. Jesus Christ was both the root and the offspring of King David, establishing and later forming part of a royal line that extended from King David's time to the present day. God has worked numerous miracles to preserve this throne for thousands of years. Request Gerald Fleury's free book, The New Throne of David, to understand the stunningly specific and accurate prophecies about this throne. Learn why God places such high importance on the throne of David. You will also receive Gerald Fleury's free booklet on Chronicles. The biblical book of Chronicles is the proper conclusion to the Old Testament, though this fact confuses Bible scholars. The message of this book goes beyond physical and spiritual temples, transporting the reader out into the vast, decaying universe. God is telling us about his plans to raise the universe ruins. To learn how God will restore the universe to its former splendor, request the Book of Chronicles. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request The New Throne of David and The Book of Chronicles. Order now.